Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me today. So I'm actually joined with a very special guest, Yasmin, my A-level biology student, who has conducted some incredible research into cosmetic dental surgery. So Yasmin's joining me today to talk about the options that are available, the benefits that different surgeries have, and also, importantly, the risks. So first of all, Yasmin, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, okay, let me kick off. The first question I want to ask, what actually does dental cosmetic surgery entail?
Well, Mr. I, there are three main sections to cosmetic surgery. We can whiten our teeth, we can make them brighter, we can make our teeth straight using orthodontic treatment, and we can change the shape and colour of our teeth using veneers and crowns. So let's start off with whitening. There are a couple of different ways to whiten our teeth. Zoom whitening is the method used in practice. The sessions are an hour and a half to 2 hours in length and uses hydrogen peroxide 6%. This is the strongest form of hydrogen peroxide, and a UV light is used to accelerate the process. The hygienist or dentist will paint the hydrogen peroxide onto your teeth. The other form of whitening can be done at home using molded plastic trays. These will be made by taking impressions of your mouth, which will be sent off to a laboratory. Your dentist will provide you with home whitening gels and your trays. The gel is applied into the tray, and trays will be worn either overnight or for periods varying from 30 minutes and 4 hours during the day.
Okay, so with all that in mind, would you say that tooth whitening is actually safe as a procedure?
Yes, so clinical studies show that whitening teeth under supervision of dental professionals is safe for both teeth and gums.
Okay, so you've said it's safe, but what about, because a lot of people dismiss the side effects. Like, are there any side effects to teeth whitening?
So side effects, which are most common, are tooth and gum sensitivity.
Okay.
Your dentist will be able to advise you on whether you are an appropriate candidate for whitening and ensure that you are using the correct concentration of whitening formula.
So if I use, a bit of a random question, if I use one of those home trays, if I go home and use one, how long will it take? How quickly will my teeth actually turn white?
The answer is slightly different for everybody. It's a bit like trying to answer how quickly will I suntan. Usually most people are done within 7 to 14 days.
Okay, that's a lot shorter than I was thinking. What about how long it lasts? Like, will that whitening, does it last an equivalent time or?
Again, slightly varies for each individual, but often patients will top up their colour every year or two.
Okay, if I didn't want to buy the trays though, are there any other products on the market that I know someone listening can go out to whiten the teeth?
So yeah, there's Crest whitening strips, which are actually the number one selling beauty product in America. But these will provide variable results and are not as accurate as home trays. There are whitening toothpaste, but please be aware that these are mainly abrasive and take away stains, but also layers of tooth and gum if applied too vigorously.
Okay, that's really interesting.
So that's some of the fundamentals of tooth whitening, but I really want to move on to cover different types of orthodontic treatment. Traditionally, there are two types of orthodontic treatment, which are the routine braces, known as the traditional train tracks, and other type being removable appliances. Aligner appliances can be supplied under the care and supervision of qualified orthodontists or dentists, or they can be provided by online companies.
So, Yasmin, I've always been curious, what's the process for these at-home aligners?
So the user will purchase a kit from a company and take images and impressions. These get sent back to the company and the models are reviewed. The user is set a treatment plan and sent a set of aligners. The trays are advised to be worn for 22 hours a day.
That's a long time. Does it actually work? Do they work?
It's entirely possible that the user can have a positive result with the straightening kit. However, for many people, they can see little to no change and even have their teeth move back.
So when this happens, what benefits do people actually see when they do this?
Well, the route can be cheaper. People are drawn in by the appeal of having dentistry done in the comfort of their own home, especially for those who are like particularly nervous. Many influencers on social media now are showing results and advocating for the use of all DIY aligners, and it's more convenient for many people.
Okay, so you talk about like influence and online things, but like honestly, in your opinion, how safe really is it for people to do?
Well, it's difficult to say. It is arguably a concern that the user will have no interaction or physical contact with a qualified professional in the field. There are many risks that come with incorrectly fitting aligners, such as irritation to gums or structural issues. Furthermore, and an even more concerning factor, would be that the user has no prior oral health checks. The user is not analysed for quality of oral health and cleaning. The user's prior medical history and potential structural issues with the user's mouth aren't considered. This can lead to tooth decay or gum disease. Many users will also may not maintain regular checkups with their dentists, and this can cause problems with their oral health.
Okay, so what then, having done all this research, what would you say is the bottom line on these DIY aligners?
So the bottom line is, to those who consider using the DIY aligners, I think a question that should be asked is, how comfortable would you feel with performing a filling on yourself at home? Surely the same goes for orthodontic treatment. In practice, orthodontics have spent years specialising in orthodontic science. I read a recent news story where a patient had noticed that something didn't feel correct with the bite, and this was causing her to have migraines. She consulted an orthodontic practitioner, and her DIY aligners had given her a crossbite. The traditional method of train tracks is something that people are very familiar with. Fixed braces have brackets which are cemented onto each individual tooth. They are joined together by wires which apply pressure to gradually align the tooth, and it can offer a very predictable result. However, in more complex orthodontic surgeries, I think it's interesting to talk about orthognatic surgery, which is often used to achieve the desired results. So I just want to go in and explain what orthognatic surgery is. Orthognatic surgery is surgery to the jaw, which is often used to correct skeletal issues which affect the bite. It is used to correct the imbalance between upper and lower jaw. The process involves the patient being put under general anaesthetic for the surgery. The surgeon will move the jaw into the correct position and use tiny plates to secure the position. The tiny plates will go into the gum. When the surgeon is happy with the position, very small elastic bands are placed between the top and bottom brace. On the whole, the surgeon will use titanium fixation. However, sometimes bioabsorbable devices have been used. So bioabsorbable devices are used because this eliminates the chance of people having to have the second operation to remove the titanium plates.
But with that though, what then are the potential complications of that?
So the potential complications are potential of inflammation of the mandible. Mm-hmm. If the plate is fractured, this can lead to localized soft tissue inflammation. There could be some pain and discomfort after surgery, and some people may even experience trouble eating and drinking.
What about, so if you take orthognatic surgery as a whole, can you just talk a little bit about the different types of it?
Yeah, for sure. So there are a couple of types of orthognatic surgery. Maxillary surgery is surgery on the upper jaw, and this is used to correct things such as crossbite, open bite, and jaws which recede significantly. The bone above your teeth will be cut. The jaw and upper teeth are moved forward until they line up with the lower teeth. If your teeth, such as the molars, are preventing the lineup of your jaw, the surgeon is able to file the tooth to create a smooth surface. So another type of surgery is surgery on the lower jaw. This will correct incorrect placement of the lower jaw. Cuts will be made behind molars, which go downwards, and the jaw will be moved into correct positioning. Screws or plates will be used to secure this new position.
What are the benefits of this type of surgery?
So the benefits are improved skeletal structure of the face and tooth. It can also improve tooth function, improve day-to-day skills such as eating, chewing and speaking, and it can also improve speech impairments. There's another way to improve patient smile, which is worth considering, especially with recent things that have been in the news. And this is by reshaping the teeth and covering them in crowns or veneers.
Okay, so I know just from my own experience, a lot of people, I don't think, fully know what they are. So are you right to tell the listeners what actually is a crown, when you said crown, what that is?
So a crown is around 1 millimetre in thickness and covers the whole tooth. The latest crowns are made of strengthened porcelains. The upside is that the tooth is heavily filled and can be improved both in cosmetics and in strength. A veneer, on the other hand, is similar to a crown, however, only covers the outer face of the tooth. Again, the downside of these is that sometimes it involves taking healthy tooth tissue, This can effectively age the two significantly by preparing them too aggressively. So a topic that is hugely controversial at the moment is the rising trend in turkey teeth. This is where people are travelling abroad to have substandard dentistry done by dentists who are not regulated nor trained to the standards expected in the UK. Turkey teeth is a viral trend which is described as a dental nightmare. People have been drawn into results shown by social media influencers and reality stars, with TikTok alone having more than 31 billion views on the hashtag turkey teeth. The dangers of medical tourism are apparent, with many UK dental practices, including the NHS, no longer willing to fix problems that may appear as a result of turkey teeth. The problem really arises with the regulation of the practices in Turkey, not only in the qualification, but also in general protocols such as hygiene.
I'm glad you touched on this because I find this topic fascinating. Can you, again, with this one, would you mind going into how the process actually works, Yasmin?
Yes, so the process is fairly simple. The patient will get in touch with the clinic. This is often done over social media. They will send photos of their teeth to the clinic, and then transport, accommodation and treatment will be organised. People travel to Turkey to achieve this Hollywood smile on a budget. The teeth are filed down to create small stubs in order to fit invasive crowns over the top. The dentist will cauterize the gum in order to help it heal quicker and for disinfection. To give you a rough idea, in the UK, anything from like 0.5 to 1 millimetre of tooth is filed away in order to fit a crown. This is in order to preserve natural tooth structure and avoid disrupting the tooth. However, in Turkey, the treatment can be far more aggressive than this, with preparations on a tooth cutting the tooth structure down towards nerves. In turn, this can cause the tooth to become super sensitive, and in some cases a nerve can die off, which will cause an abscess. Some Turkish dentists will elect to treat tooth. So this is taking out the nerves before they place the crowns. This is also a very aggressive treatment on an otherwise healthy tooth.
So if that's the case, why do so many people go and get it done?
So really, on an estimate, we're looking around 35,000 people having it done in Britain. This is kind of as a result of social media trends. Reality stars are promoting people to do the same. People are looking for cheaper alternatives, and they want to achieve this so-called perfect smile. So the Turkish dentistry can be done by a fifth of the price of UK procedures. And also, people are just unaware of the risks or even the damage caused by the type of treatment.
It is quite an enticing kind of offer, especially if it is significantly cheaper. But again, if I go back to some of the other things you talked about, surely this type of treatment comes with a whole load of complications. So, I don't know, or does it? Does turkey teeth come with a whole host of complications?
Yeah, so for sure, there's a huge list. I mean, just to give you an idea, you can experience things such as sensitive teeth, chronic pain, severe infections, damage to oral health. Follow-ups after treatment to fix arising problems can cost up to £20,000. So really, are you looking at the cheaper alternative? You can experience things such as infected gums, rotting teeth, which leads to exposure of gums.
So why? Well, I don't know, like there's loads of issues in dentistry. Why is turkey teeth... I mean, it's fascinating for this podcast, but why is it such an issue generally, do you think?
So the general issue is that it's such a complex and invasive treatment, and it's planned entirely over social media in most cases, which can cause treatment plans to be incorrect and even misinform patients of what they're actually having done. Crowns have to be replaced every 10 to 15 years. They may make a saving now, but at some point, all this work will have to be replaced again at further expense. NHS and UK dentists are so hesitant to get involved in problems that arise from treatment done by other practitioners in Turkey. There is a risk of nerve damage from the procedure, so you're looking at treatment just to even fix this. And the typical turkey teeth are composed of cheaper materials that don't last very long.
That sounds all pretty scary, especially when you say about materials. So, like, does it affect, or actually, how? I'm imagining it does. How does turkey teeth then affect the actual like structure of a single tooth?
The tooth itself has a very thin layer of enamel that is what makes it receptive to decay. The tooth is filed away to remove all the enamel layer and left just enough dentine to cover the pulp of the tooth. The treatment is hugely aggressive in the preparation of the teeth, which essentially ages them by 20 years in 5 minutes. When the crown or veneer is done, it removes the layer of enamel around the tooth. It is the enamel that offers resistance to decay. When the enamel is removed, you are left only with dentine around the nerve. If teeth are already heavily filed and breaking down, then a crown or veneer is justifiable. This is the problem with turkey teeth. They will often cut away perfectly healthy teeth that do not need crown or veneers and damage them without care for their future.
It's absolutely fascinating. And actually, a lot of the specs that schools kind of follow for their exams don't really touch on teeth generally as a topic. So thank you so much for conducting all of that research and for joining me on this podcast. Yeah, thank you very much. For all the listeners out there, thank you for joining us. If you have any questions at all that you'd like to ask for myself or you'd like me to pose to Yasmin, then get in touch at kytosbiology@gmail.com. Until next time.